Hello, everybody. Welcome to Health Chatter. Today's show is on falls and falls prevention, which is actually, as it gets icier and snowier outside, this is quite timely. So it's going to be a good show. We've got a great crew, background crew, that helps us with all our shows. Maddie Levine-Wolf, Aaron Collins, Deandra Howard, Matthew Campbell, Sheridan Nygaard. These are all great people. They do our marketing. They do our production. They do our research. They help us to make this show successful. And they've been with us since day one, which is really special. So thank you to all of you. Clarence Jones is my co-host on this. We also have our medical advisor, although Barry isn't with us, Dr. Barry Baines. He's on his way to New York City today. So he promised he would listen in on the show afterwards. Also, Human Partnership is our sponsor for these shows. It's a great community health organization that really does remarkable things out in the community to get people engaged in their health issues and knowledgeable about their health issues. So thank you to Human Partnership. You can check them out at humanpartnershipalliance.org. And you can check us out at healthchatterpodcast.com for all the shows that we've done and also our background research, etc. So thanks to everybody. So today we're going to be talking about falls and how to prevent them, hopefully. Okay, or at least address how to do it. And there's some tricks to the trade, and I'm sure we'll be talking about them. We have a wonderful guest with us today, and her name is Mary Gray. She serves as the director of rehab for Health Partners here in Minnesota, overseeing rehabilitation services across community-based hospitals and clinics. Physical therapist, and we can talk about that too, PT, you know, because when people fall, they land up having some PT, I assume. For over 27 years, and has dealt with a variety of things around fall prevention, dementia, age-related care, etc. She's a mother of six. And we talked about this before we went live on the show, and I'm saying, wow, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I can imagine what a dinner would be with so many people. And as a caregiver for her 95-year-old father, who unfortunately has dementia. But I thank you. I really thank you for proceeding with taking care of your father. And I know being a caregiver can be stressful, but hang in there. So welcome. Welcome to you. And all right, so let's talk about falls. People fall. I mean, it's kind of, I was thinking about, you know, when I used to walk my dog, you know, they have four legs. So, to a certain extent, they're a little bit more stable than we are. Well, maybe a lot more stable. And I oftentimes think, okay, why is it that they can run so fast? You know, well, okay, they got four legs that they're working together. We don't. And that really is, you know, I think a major difference. So let's talk about falls. We've got some great background research that, frankly, I think the data is scary. Really scary. And I'm sure most of us aren't even aware of how many people are affected by falls and how it affects their overall health. So, all right, let's start it out, Mary. Give us kind of a broad overview of falls from your perspective and in your practice.
Sure. Well, I will just say that, you know, falls are one of the leading causes of emergency room visits for people over the age of 65. And as someone who is part of seven different hospitals, you know, it's a big impact to us. You know, and in Minnesota, I think we've seen the newest studies and research suggest that, you know, we have 71,000 falls were reported in people 65 and older in the state of Minnesota in 2021. And again, it is really the leading cause of those ER visits. We also know that people over the age of 85 are 7 times more likely to die from a fall than those in the ages of 65 to 84. And so it's really, we do see this increase with age, and we know we're living longer. I think the other interesting fact is 1 in 4 older adults fall. So when you really think about that and you start to get into that age range, myself included, as I'm starting to creep into that middle age on the other side, that's pretty significant. And so just the data would suggest it is really a prevalent public health concern. The other interesting fact that we've been watching, of course, in our healthcare and our public health communities is it costs about $80 billion is what they believe for these non-fatal falls on healthcare costs, and that is exponentially to increase somewhere into the 130, 120 to 130 billion by 2030. So that's the most recent data that I've seen that has really heightened our awareness in health partners and in our healthcare communities, and with our that it's really a public health issue that we really need to figure out how to address, and that is really going to take a collective effort that no one hospital system or one system can do on its own. It's really going to be a collective effort.
So let me ask you something. I mean, these are astounding figures. And frankly, I wasn't, I was aware that falls are a problem, but when I started to see this data, I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I mean, really? All right, so let me ask you. So you're a physical therapist. Just curious, what percentage of your patients do you think that you deal with or treat had a fall? In other
Oh.
words, you're doing physical therapy because they had a fall.
Oh, because they had a fall. Okay. Well, I would say, in my practice, it would have been I kind of specialized in falls. So, we always try to get the right patient to the right therapist at the right time. So I would tend to see a higher percentage in my caseload. I would say across of the people I see, we would say 15% of our patients are in seeing us because of a fall. Directly. And yet, we probably don't capture all of those that come in with shoulder pain or back pain. And then you realize it probably really started from a fall long before. So I think it's always underestimated. Like it's generally just underestimated and underreported. So as a caregiver of a father and a mother over my years, I would go to the doctor with them and doctor screen, "Have you had a fall?" And my parents would, of course, say, "No." And I would sit there in the background shaking my head, saying, "They have. They weren't injured, and they managed to get up and get on their own, but they just don't. It's underreported. There's people who are just embarrassed by having a fall." And I will ask us, even in this group, how many of us have had a fall in this call? And I guarantee you, we probably each one of us has had some sort of fall at some time. So it's just something
Or
that we
even
just think is
almost a
normal.
fall. Yeah, almost a fall even. I mean, where you fortunately you're able to catch yourself. So I want to link, if possible, some medical conditions with falls. So and I can relate a story. My mother, who has passed away now, 8 years ago, but she was living at home, and she fell down, and it was, I guess the best way to put it was secondary to a urinary tract infection, okay? Which, again, I wasn't aware at the time but that can really disorient people when they have urinary tract infections, and she fell. So let's talk about kind of the linkage with some medical, like even high blood pressure. Okay.
Absolutely.
So what can you tell us about some of these based on your experience?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of different conditions, medical conditions or chronic health conditions that can increase your risk for falls, or we see contribute to falls. And so you've already mentioned some. So people with neurological conditions, Parkinson's, stroke, you know, some of those types of conditions we see have higher risk for falls because of the impairments, you know, the secondary effects of those conditions. People with diabetes, also because some of the effects of diabetes and peripheral neuropathy that can happen in their sensory systems. And so we see people with diabetes have a higher incidence for falls. And you mentioned blood pressure, and that it can be high blood pressure, it can be low blood pressure, right? So people on who have high blood pressure who are receiving treatment for it through medications and different things can sometimes have what we call orthostatic hypotension, right? So they so that can impact and increase risk for falls. Those are just a few of the different conditions, but there is a lot of different areas. So you mentioned as we get older, it's some of the things with older adults is that they have a couple of conditions, right? So one condition by itself isn't a maybe isn't a problem, but now you add high blood pressure with diabetes and Parkinson's, and you add three, you get the comorbidities of health conditions that then contribute, right? So it can be so multifactorial is the challenge with falls. It's a very multifactorial effect from those conditions.
Clarence.
So Mary, I like wearing loafers, and what I want to know is, does the selection of your shoe style impact your fallibility? You know, I think that
Fallibility, that's a new word.
yeah.
It is.
So yeah, but I know that are there certain shoes that have been identified as having more falls than other shoes?
Absolutely. Yes, I will say yes for sure.
Okay.
Your footwear is critically important, especially in Minnesota winters, and in the winter side of things, right? Like having a good outdoor shoe. But we have found, you know, things that don't have a good heel counter, like your slip-on shoes can be more challenging for people, especially if you have some of those chronic health conditions or sensory issues in your feet. They just don't provide the foot support that we need. The sole of the shoe is important. And so, you know, having something that has good traction and the ability to grip is important. And then just how shoes fit for people, right? So too tight of toe counter, too tight of front part of the foot where your feet are squashed impact how you walk and how you move.
So
So
I
we
don't want to pick up.
definitely, nope, go ahead.
No,
Sorry.
I was going to say real quickly. I don't want to, as you were talking, I'm like, I don't want to pick on any particular brand, but clogs don't work, huh?
Well, generally we would say no. They slip-ons are nice, right? There's slip-ons are great because they're easy for people. If they have a condition that limits their ability to put on a shoe and they struggle, we would say having a shoe on is more important than going barefoot or without anything. But it really having something that supports the heel is important. But again, you know, people are very particular about their shoes. So again, I always just think of where you're going and the environment that you're in. So clogs outdoors in uncontrolled environments with a lot of different wind and surface changes, probably not as good. Maybe in the confines of your home where there's less of those environmental risks, you could consider. But I would generally say we say clogs are not great. And anything, you know, high heels, not great. And then the other key thing with shoes really is what I'll tell you, Clarence, is, you know, you can buy a great pair of shoes. It's shoes wears out too. And so we really tell people to do a shoe check monthly. Look at the bottom of your shoe. If you start to see that the soles are starting to wear out, all of those great things that you bought that shoe for are no longer as effective. So just thinking about looking at your shoes, and we kind of call it a shoe check or a shoe audit. Go audit your shoes, check your shoes in your closet out, and maybe it's time to part with some of those favorite shoes and just find a new pair.
And I want to say this, and again, we're not promoting any shoe brand, but
Exactly.
there's got to be some shoes or some way that we can identify something that will help that have been a, as you just said, have been identified as a better selection to prevent falls. I mean, so you know, we're right. We have the winter thing, I was going to the store the other day with some of my favorite loafers on, and found myself, slipping through the snow. So I do get that. But are there certain kinds of shoes that are better for us than others? And
Sure.
again, not promoting a brand, just.
Yep. I'm not going to talk about brand because I'll tell you, I don't ever want it to be something that is a cost issue for any of our patients and
Right,
members.
right. I appreciate that.
I would say a good tennis shoe, a good shoe that like there are really great dress shoes, that are low profile, meaning not a lot of heels, and again that has some sort of tread or surface on the bottom. The things I sometimes it's easier to say the things to avoid. Avoid flip-flops, avoid, sandals that don't have any backing or any heel strap on them. Those are kind of the tougher ones. And then really look at the bottoms of the shoes that there is some sort of tread or grip on it. So even some, I think of men's dress shoes sometimes, like there's just nothing on the bottom of them. They're very slippery. So having some sort of tread on them is better. Those would be the kind of the key things. So like a good tennis shoe, a shoe that laces up or that you can slide in that has some expandability. So it can still slide on that you don't have to necessarily tie, but it has some elastic to kind of hold the foot in so that your heel isn't slipping out of the shoe.
So,
Does that help?
it's interesting. For those of us who live in a wintry environment, I made this assessment just the other day, where you have these tall boots, because the snow can get really deep, and then you have like a lower, and then even a lower yet. Okay. I mean, you kind of gradate it, as you go. So the other day, I was out in Boston. And I realized, okay, I'm going to go visit my daughter, and I didn't want to bring the boot or the shoe or whatever that weighs a ton, to put in a suitcase or even wear. So I went and bought a pair, and it was really interesting. I was very cognizant of the bottom, the tread on the bottom, because I knew, all right, Boston, and I knew it was going to snow, and I knew, all this other kind of stuff. And so, it's a lower shoe, lower, but good tread on the bottom. So I was aware of that. So you'll be happy I did that.
You did. You would have passed the check.
I would
That
have
is
passed the test.
fantastic.
Okay, so here's another thing. Again, I mentioned to you before we started the show that I see knee patients post-surgery. And one of the things, many times patients who have had surgery like this will ask me this question: will I be able to continue to go on hikes? Like in a forest or wherever. And I said, yes, you can. But, and so I give them this little piece of advice. I say, when you're walking or hiking, look down. Look down, because inevitably there'll be a rock or there'll be a tree root or God knows what that you could easily trip over and fall. And then if you want to take in the beauty, stop. Take in the beauty, look around you, it's great. Then continue your hike, look down so that you're so and I've been telling that to a lot, especially when you have knee replacement patients, they're a little higher risk. So that's one thing I looked at. All
That
right,
is great advice.
so let's talk about age differences.
Oh,
Okay,
sure.
I mean, you said, as we get older, okay, one thing that kind of kicks in that I think are medications, right? I mean, people take all
Absolutely.
these, as you get older, you have to take, medications for a variety of things. Are we seeing that that's linked?
Oh, absolutely. Medications definitely need to be looked at and thought about. And so, one of the key factors in any kind of false screen, particularly as we get older and you get into the Medicare wellness age, is medications definitely need to be looked at, and we should really consider. stopping or reducing, and medications that could increase fall risk. And we have to think of medications as more than what doctors prescribe, but what people take over the counter. So people use a lot of medications over the counter to help sleep, to help with pain, and they often don't think those could potentially increase their risk for falls, but they can. So a common one you often hear is like a Benadryl, right? Like, oh, or I'm going to take a Tylenol PM to help me with sleep. And as we get older, those medications can actually increase our risk for falls more greatly. And so really having that conversation with your physician about your medications and being honest about all of the over-the-counter medications you take so that they can really look at the interactions between all of those medications.
So Stan, I want to ask this question, Mary, because I was really tracking with you, because I was going to ask this thing about a lot of people just say, well, I'm just clumsy, and that, I mean, and people think, well, he's just clumsy, okay, or she is clumsy. If people have a tendency to be clumsy or fall a trip, are there exercises that can strengthen or minimize that effect? Now, you just mentioned medication. I mean, so if people are doing that, then is it the medicine that might be doing that, or is it, what is it? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because what can we do to minimize that besides, just crawling?
Absolutely. It really does take a comprehensive look. So you really would, I mean, there are naturally people who will say, I'm more clumsy, and having six kids, I will tell you, I have some that are probably a little bit different. We're all different and unique. And
Sure.
so there's definitely exercises that can be done and are very important that we practice balance. And so I just encourage that it really takes a comprehensive look. So you always want to rule out the medications aren't causing some of it, right? So is this something that you've had, Clarence, all of your life to be a little clumsy? Or is this something that, gosh, I've just noticed has developed as I've gotten older, right? Those are kind of some key questions we would ask. But there's definitely balance and exercise are such a hallmark to what we do as we age, and not only to prevent falls, but for all of the other positive benefits that exercise and good eating and health can do. And so balance, exercise, and strength. So I think people understand like, oh, I should practice my balance, but strength is such an important part because as we age, we know we're losing about 4% of our strength. We're getting some muscle loss that naturally happens with age. And the only way to prevent that decline is to try to prevent it and to do strength exercises more regularly.
So you
And
mentioned a
it doesn't
practice
have to
that,
take a lot of time.
right? So you, but you know, you intrigued me with the thing about practice balance. I thank you for talking about the loss of our muscles and those kinds of things. What's practice balance mean?
Yeah, so I love to do challenges when I work with my patients of like where do they start to feel unsteady? So we have some people who feel unsteady just standing up with their feet close together, right? Like standing and you're putting your feet as close together. So and then we people that's easy for them, but they can't stand on one leg, right? You can't stand on one leg. So well, if that's hard for you, then we should start practicing standing on one leg at your kitchen counter. You can try standing on one leg. How does that go? Do you have to touch down with your hands or not? If that starts to get easier, I often tell people add this into your daily life. Brush your teeth, standing on one foot, or maybe standing in tandem, and brush your teeth as you're doing something like that. Or if you're sitting on a phone call, try doing something to practice your balance. So
Okay,
balance is
thank
an
you.
important part. Yeah, just simple things that you can do to add a little balance into your day.
Thank
So,
you.
I've been doing some yoga.
Oh.
All right. So, and inevitably, and keep in mind, I've had both my knees replaced. So it's always a little trickier when you're dealing with overall balance altogether. So inevitably in yoga, they practice these types of things, Mary, that you're mentioning, standing on one foot, et cetera. And then how about closing your eyes?
Absolutely.
Okay, your eyes help to orient you, but when you close your eyes, it's easy to get disoriented. However, practicing doing that, even if you can close your eyes for, 5 seconds,
Absolutely.
It does strengthen. The other thing that I can recommend, just based on my own experiences, so I work out, but at one point I was using a trainer, and my trainer would not allow me to use free weights, where you bench press over your head or whatever, because it creates, you're not as stable. He said the machines that can basically do that, you can get the same kind of exercise, but they're stable. They provide the stability for you, so you're not wobbling. The machine is there for you to create stability. So that's another thing that we might recommend for our listening audience. Okay, vitamins.
Stan, can I make a comment on
Yeah.
that? So, absolutely, machines are more stable. You don't have to use it, except in real life, right? Like, so if you're going for just pure strength, a machine is fantastic, right? It's going to help you build strength. But we do want to build balance because you are going to reach up into your cupboard. And so, getting your core muscles and all of your stabilizing muscles, which help support balance, engaged is important. So a progression in a workout at a gym would be is start with the strength, but then start incorporating some lighter weights and
Yeah.
doing, like you're saying, an overhead press with lighter weights where you have to be balanced because that is what is going to create function in your home as you're reaching into things or bending down to pick things up. And so it's really important to think about that in your progression. And again, a therapist, a personal trainer, there's a lot of health coaches that could help guide some of that on how to progress. So never stay in one. I always say this with exercise. You can't keep doing the exact same exercise over and over and over and expect a different result. You have to be progressive in that exercise. So start
Yeah.
stable, like I'm saying, feet out wide, work your way to feet narrow, work your way to tandem, one leg, eyes open, eyes closed. Uneven surfaces. You can step on a pillow and stand on a pillow, and then you kind of mimic what it's like to be outdoors or on uneven ground, so that you can kind of create the all of the environments where we love to enjoy life.
Yeah. Clarence, go ahead.
So Mary, some of the stats that we got is that only about half of the people who fall can easily get back up. Yeah, even people without with you know even people without an injury. So my question to you then is, how do we learn how to safely knowing that half of us are going to be will fall sometime? How do we learn how to easily get back up on our own?
Great question. And what I tell people is that we should actually practice. And so, like we teach in therapy, or sometimes in some of our community-based fall prevention classes that you can get, or there's even handouts on some of those websites that we'll talk about, like the STEADI or the CDC has information, is practicing and creating a plan. So just like we have a plan for how to, if there's a fire in our house, what would I do? We have a plan for if I were to fall, I should practice. Think of the steps that I'm going to take. And so literally, we often tell people to find places in your home where you have a chair or something that could allow you to have an incremental way to kind of get to stand or have arm support to help get up so you're not getting up in the middle of a floor.
Sure.
And I would tell people if you're struggling with how to get off, then you should probably ask for a referral to a therapist or to work with a professional on kind of helping with that because that is a really important part. We also know that people who are fearful of falling or who have worry of falling fall more. And so you can't underestimate the power of the mental piece of this, that if you start to worry about falling, you actually fall more because you start restricting doing things. So if we can give confidence to people by, hey, you can get up if you have a fall and you have a safety plan for what to do, sometimes we can take that worry away and minimize their risk through just gaining confidence.
Wow, that's a
I
very
mean,
interesting
yeah.
point.
Yeah. Let me follow up, Stan, with this, because as you were
Yeah.
talking, I remember that commercial where the lady said, "I've fallen, I can't get up." I mean, so she had that medical alert thing that's there. So, yeah, I don't even know where I was going with that question, but I think it just stirred something inside of me. So you have a comment for that?
I do. Because, you know, that was there were so many more limited choices 15, 20 years ago, right? Like you had to have these safety alerts that cost a lot more money and you were worried about like I speak for my own family had them and then they were like worried about pushing the button thinking it was going to cost money so they wouldn't push the button.
Yeah.
And so What I'll tell people now is there's so much advanced technology, and this is where some of the technology. So even like some of those smartwatches have the ability to detect if someone has fallen, and they can and you can call for help from there. And so and that can go right to a family member. There's so much technology, and I use this with my own father who I've been caregiving for is just cameras. Right. So cameras that can alert me if there's movement or not movement happening in his room. Right. And so I can get alerts so that he can stay more independent in his environment and I can be monitoring him from afar. And so that we can keep people living more independently with other safety measures in place. So I think that is one of the great benefits of some of the technology we have now is that there's a lot of ability for people to maintain staying in their home. With different alert systems that we can implement and partner with your family or a neighbor to create a plan that if you have had a fall, you call and someone can come and help. We also know that 17% of 911 calls now are often for lift assists that are occurring in our communities. And so we're seeing this higher rise that's surpassing calls for fires and other things. That our fire departments are going out to help people lift to get them up. Right? So they also become people who can help try to provide resources and education and try to be supportive of people who are falling.
So, it's interesting. So I have a smartwatch, and it's probably smarter than I am. And it has asked me at various times, it comes up with a thing and says, "It appears that you might have fallen. Is this correct or incorrect or whatever?" And you just press a button. It's like one time I was gardening and I was on my hands and knees, so it picked that up. Okay. But you know what? Better to be safe than sorry. In this case,
Absolutely.
I was fine, but it still asked. And I think that that's really good. It really is good from a prevention standpoint. Yeah, what the heck? It
And a
really good.
safety standpoint.
It's safety, exactly. Okay, so there's two things I want to talk about is living alone. Okay, so all right, so as people age, they could be living alone. Like for instance, I live alone. All right, so give us some advice
Sure.
for this.
There are what I really encourage anybody who's living alone or even with loved ones that have different risk factors is really doing like a home safety check, right? There's definitely environmental hazards that we know in our home that could increase our risk for falls. And so we often talk about the throw rugs, things that change, like the change in surface from a hardwood floor to a carpet surface, like looking at those areas, trip hazards, pets. Right? They could potentially increase your risk for falls. So there's definitely safety checklists that you can find, and I'm happy to share that. And I believe you'll have that in your resources. Within the CDC has a beautiful home safety checklist that we tell people you should do this. Do it once a month. Get used to kind of doing a check, kind of like you change your furnace filter. You should check your environment, and just get used to doing that and recognizing things that are different. When you're living alone, also just like in your kitchen safety. How people kind of don't realize that sometimes we start to shrink a little as we get older. So the things that we once could reach at the top shelf maybe isn't as easy to reach. So I'm going to get on a step stool or a chair. And that just start thinking about your most used items, keeping them closer, bring them down a couple shelves so it's more easily able to access. So you're just decreasing some of those risks. But throw rugs in particular are, it's a hard thing for people to not want to have in their house, especially in winter. You just have to think about how they're secured to the ground or if they have some sort of rubber underneath to prevent the slipping and sliding is a key piece. And then the other area that I always tell people is you should really look at your bathroom safety, right? Because where are you showering and bathing and there's just more risk for water and things on the floor, so spills. And so just thinking about bathroom safety and how you where you might have some grab bars or some extra safety features. Just to make that environment a little safer for you. And then
It's
lastly, I
funny
would
to do.
say good lighting, Stanton. Good lighting is important, particularly at night when we're getting up and going to the bathroom. is just having some good night lights on and resources for that. And now with LED lights and some of these different things, they and motion sensing, sometimes they'll just turn on as you go in into different rooms, which is a wonderful thing to have as well.
So, it's interesting that you said that. When you talked about shrinking, I remember one time I was 6 foot tall. Now I'm like 5'10", 5'9". I'm like, what the heck is going on? My pants legs are a little bit longer, you know what I mean, than I was expecting. But the other part too, though, is that we talk about getting our feet inspected. I mean, we talked about shoes, we talked about, those kind of things. Well, should we let our doctors look at our feet? I mean,
Absolutely.
for
It is
that.
a that is a great, really great call out, Clarence. Is particularly if you have diabetes or any sort of neuropathy, you should have your feet checked regularly, right? So that if anyone who has diabetes, that is a really critical component. But it is good to look at the bottoms of your feet and do that inspection, especially if you have any numbness or tingling or a nerve damage, or if, have had any sort of back injury that has caused some sensory changes to your legs. That is really important piece because you sometimes don't feel what might be changing in your feet. And your feet, your ankle is your first reaction, right? So when you're standing and walking and you're on a bus example, right? And it moves, your first reaction is an ankle strategy. So if your feet and your ankles aren't giving you the right signals to the brain, you're going to be a little delayed in your reaction time.
Okay, thank you.
So, lifestyle is another one that I was thinking about. And it appears to me, at least, as we age, our lifestyles change as well. Okay. What we used to be able to do versus what we now think we can do or can do. And to me, that's a real mindset type of thing. Oh yeah, I did this when I was 25. Well, excuse me, now you're 70, and I hear this a lot from
Absolutely.
patients. Well, I could always do that. Well, okay, so do you talk about that with the patients that you see, lifestyle changes?
Absolutely. Well, there's, I always like to talk about what is normal aging versus what is common aging, right? What we often
That's a
think
good way of
there's
putting
certain
it.
things that are normal parts of aging, and then we realize, like, well, no, they're common, but that actually isn't normal. So, yes, absolutely. Lifestyle choices, how, and again, if you have not, kind of like what we often refer to in therapy sometimes as the weekend warrior. Like, I don't do anything during the week because I'm so busy working and taking care of my kids and doing things, but now I'm going to go out and play my same sport that I played in my 20s that I haven't done for 15 years and think I'm not going to have some soreness or effects from that, right? So it's just kind of a use and disuse kind of idea. So if you're not using your muscles regularly doing a certain task, when you go back to doing it again, it's going to feel different and you're probably not going to be as strong. And so I just think having a heightened awareness, body awareness, and then as you say, just being realistic. So we want people to be able to go back and hike. So I some things that you can do is maybe you are hiking certain different types of terrains, but maybe using a walking stick or finding ways to do things, finding different paths that have maybe more paved paths than just, start there. And so I think it's really important that we try to keep people as engaged and social in our communities because that is such a huge also factor of quality of life and keeping people social is such an important factor because we do know that there's some level of factors with depression and some of the mental health conditions that can also lead to increased falls. We're starting to see that a little bit more as well. And so we want to find ways to keep people engaged in doing the things they love in a and just has to be a kind of a progressive way of getting back to it or modifying what it was. So I'm going to bring up pickleball because, we see people
Big,
now playing pickleball
yeah.
more and more and more. And if you haven't, that takes a lot of balance because you're doing a lot of movements.
Yeah.
And so I think we should try to encourage people to do that, but they have to think about taking steps to kind of prepare their body for it. Just like you train for a marathon, you wouldn't just go out and run it the next day. we should make sure we're training our bodies and kind of preparing for certain activities.
You
You
know,
know,
it's
it's
funny you just said
interesting.
that.
Yeah, go
Yeah,
ahead,
it was
Claire.
it was funny you said that because I just wrote down pickleball, a pickleball league, but I said you have to have a nurse available.
Yeah,
And the
well.
reason why, the reason why I said that was because, and just what you just said is that it's a comp, you know, people want to do pickleball, but they also have to be prepared to do pickleball. And there's also some other things that if having a practitioner there as part of the conversation is important because not only does it work with your balance, but also the other things that we talked about. So I love that. I'm gonna see if I can't get that going. I
You know,
won't be
it's
doing
interesting.
pickleball. Yeah,
You know,
I
it's
won't be.
interesting. Pickleball, we see a lot
Right.
of patients, orthopedic patients,
Absolutely.
Right.
particularly. And some of the patients I see, I tell, you know, they ask me, can I play pickleball? Yes. I said, but if the
Yeah.
ball goes over your head, let it go and get the
Yeah.
next point. You know?
Yeah,
It's
exactly.
just like, you know, don't overdo it. Yeah.
Well,
So
I think you have
I
to
want to
be
bring up.
thoughtful of this is where I always think of it's important to think of like what kind of competitor were you in your 20s? If you were one of those really competitor types and
Yeah.
now you haven't done something that's kind of in you, right? It's a natural part of you. And
Yeah.
if you know that I'm so
Correct.
competitive that I'm gonna continue to do that and I haven't really trained to be there, so you just kind of have to know yourself, is what I always tell
Yep.
people. Like if you're kind of naturally a competitor, you gotta start slow and you gotta work with a group that you're not gonna
Right.
let that overcome your safety.
Correct.
Yeah,
Correct.
I was thinking about pickleball 101. You know, no, and see, I'm very serious about this. I think that, you know, what you're saying makes so much sense to me. And you know, you want people to feel like they can do it, right? You want people to feel like they can be really engaged in it. You also want people to do these things with the idea that it really is being healthy and helpful. And so, you know, you just give me a lot of good ideas, Stan. We, you know, Stan, you and I will have to set something up, pickleball
You
101
got
club.
it.
All
We'll
right,
do it.
yeah.
Yeah, we'll do
All
the
right.
101 pickleball together.
Yeah.
So, all
And
right. So,
Claire, you
here's
can't wear loafers on a pickleball court.
Correct.
Oh, okay. But that's where you that's where you get a chance to talk to people about their shoes. You know,
Exactly. No
and watch
kidding.
their feet, watch look at their feet, and what about your drugs? I mean, you know, I mean, all those kinds of things with the ultimate idea around being healthy. And I think that that's one of the things that you know, right now we are really looking at with the changes that are going on around medicine, around access, those kinds of things. And so you want people to feel like we don't want them to be hopeless or
Absolutely.
helpless. I mean, see, so it's really this is really an intriguing conversation for me. That's all I'm saying.
So, you know,
And I want people to know that falls are preventable. I think there's this thought that a fall is an accident and I can't prevent it.
Right.
And I've had to do my own self-check because I've had a fall, right? Like, and I hadn't been feeling well. I'd been sick for a week. This was back during COVID phase and I'd been sick and felt like I had recovered. You know, I'm young, I'm vibrant, I have six kids, I can do all this stuff, and I probably didn't hydrate as well as I should have. And I got up really quickly to do something thinking I was recovered from my illness. And I kind of fell because I got an I'm guessing it was like an orthostatic kind of issue or a syncopal episode. And I kind of just dropped to my knees quickly. And it gave me pause to say, Mary, that probably could have been prevented if I had just slowed down. And if I made sure I was hydrated and I didn't overestimate my abilities. And so, what I hope we can get out there is that falls can be prevented, and we just have to just think about things a little bit differently, and just take our time, in this fast-paced world. And so, we can always learn something after a fall, and that's
Yeah.
kind of the important thing. And no one should have shame if they've had a fall. There's no
Right,
shame if you've
right.
had a fall, but let's learn from it.
Yeah. So, you know, a couple things I want to talk about is our senses. Okay. So, all right, you know, we've talked about eyesight. You know, obviously that gives you orientation, but also hearing.
Absolutely.
Correct? So, talk to me about that a little bit. You know, how you connect your senses with hopefully
Well,
preventing
for
fall.
sure, for particularly for falls, your big the biggest sensory systems are your what we call your somatosensory system, which is your balance system, right? That is a combination of your inner ear system along with your vision, and then also the sensor the sensory the sensory sensory bodies in your joints, right? So right, so those sense where we are in space. They give us position sense, and so those three systems, and as we age, we know all three of those systems start to see some age-related decline. And so again, why I say multifactorial is it's not like, oh, I'm instantly blind, right? And now I have to deal with blindness or macular degeneration. It's often that it's the combination of the three systems or all of your senses slowly going to slowly decreasing to a point where now the combination of the three puts you over the edge to put you at a higher risk. And so I tell people that's the hard part with aging is there's a, it's a slow process, and you don't realize, right? Like you kind of don't realize the culmination of all of them together is what kind of leads you into a potential more risky situation. Hearing is interesting because it's just that then the other senses have to be a little bit more heightened, right? So hearing, like if you're out in the environment, you hear things that are happening that then help you have awareness. In your home environment, I don't know. I can't say that I've seen a lot on hearing being directly related to more falls in a home environment, but definitely in the outdoor environment. But vision is very much tied to our balance system. And we see, you know, we definitely see the macular degenerations and low vision. People as we age need more light, so the brightness of things, right? And so just figuring out that piece of it. And I always think, Stanton, what you say when you talk about total knees and people having knee replacement is remember when they take out the knee, you are losing a little bit of that position sense within that knee, right? You need to get your strength and your range of motion, and we're so focused on those pieces, but it's so important in your rehab to work on the balance, retraining your balance system now with an artificial joint, right? Because you need your other joints, you know, distal and proximal to that joint. To help learn balance again with this new joint in. And so a good therapy program and a good exercise program should not only just be strength and range of motion and flexibility, it should also include balance.
Very good. So, you kind of alluded to the idea of syncope. So, the last time I fell, which was about 5 years ago now, I had a syncope event, okay, where all of a sudden, boom, and it's just like out of nowhere, you know, and there wasn't any, frankly, there wasn't any things that got in the way or anything. I was just boom. It was, you know, a sudden lowering of blood pressure. So there are things that can happen that way too. So what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a, you know, there's different things that can cause a syncopal episode, and I would encourage, you know, if that happens to you, for me, say I had the exact same thing happen, and I, you know, my premise and thought about it was that I was dehydrated, right? Or I'd gotten up so quickly, because I did. I kind of jumped out of my, I'd been laying down and I'd been resting for a period of time, and I got up quickly, and your blood pressure just needs a chance to respond to that change in position. So it can be a combination of factors. Again, you'd have to, and what I would do as a physical therapist is I'd really want to think of like looking at someone's medications, looking at if they've had any recent illness. Are they brewing a small urinary tract infection? Are they brewing any sort of illness that's coming on?
There you go.
I would look at their medications. I would look at their nutrition status. Like, had you been eating well and drinking, or did you skip a meal? Had you not drank any water? Had, you know, I tell people sometimes it's like, what did you do the day before, right? Was it a night that you had gone out and had a few glasses of wine? Some, you know what I mean? Like, had you done things that might have contributed to your state the next day that often we don't associate with it, right? We don't think about all of those things that could contribute. But often for me, it's something around your, you know, medications, your electrolyte levels. There's just a lot of things that could contribute to that. And it does take a little bit of problem solving. And to make sure you just let your doctor or your or somebody know that that happened, right?
It was, I don't know about you, but it was scary for me. It's just,
Oh,
wait a minute, what's going on?
totally freaked me out because I
Yeah.
literally, and it's about 15 feet from where you were, right? It's probably you'd gotten up and like it just, for me, it was I'd gotten up and it wasn't like instantly, it was 15 feet from where I had been. And I hit my knee so hard and I just sat there and I was like, what just
What the
happened to me?
heck? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah. And of course, it's one thing if it's diagnosed as, syncope, but it's another, it's like, whoa, did I have, a heart attack? Did I have, something that's sudden? And
Yeah.
so the other thing is if you have an event like that where you do fall, it's really good to get checked out altogether. Okay. It's just like, okay, it's just this one thing, syncope, it happened. Hopefully it won't happen again, blah, blah, blah. But you want to, eliminate all the other things that it could have been or is.
Absolutely.
So, all right.
Great advice. Yep.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is a little bit of seasonal stuff. So, and I'll use my own home as an example. So, when you're dealing with winter, you come into the house and what do? The first thing you do is you take off your boots or, or whatever, and you leave them there, right? And so all of a sudden you have more obstacles. Even though you might be putting them on, a mat or something, there are more obstacles in the way. So I guess, from my perspective, be aware of that. When you come in, okay, you got
Absolutely.
to take off all these jackets and hats and everything else. Just don't drop them on the floor. Put them in a place that's safe to you for you to be able to navigate effectively around the house. So.
Absolutely. And it's just the moisture. So I use the same example and I've had to rethink things myself. I'm one who I want somewhere to put my keys and certain things down because I'm
Yeah.
usually carrying something into my house. So I might not get my boots off first. And so then all of a sudden I like take a few steps into the counter and then I backtrack and then I take it off. And then I realize I look at the floor and realize, oh my gosh, now there's water on the floor from the two steps I had taken. So it
Correct.
has caused me as I've gotten older to even just rethink some of these things as I talk to my patients and the community about fall prevention. Like, I got to listen to some of these same things as I've gotten older. Myself, like, how could I do this differently? Right?
So
Like, where could I
here's a
sit
good
down and
one.
take things off and have the right kind of rug and a place to a rubber mat that can hold them first and then have an indoor shoe or just have a clear path to my next destination?
Exactly.
A really
So
good
here's
follow-up.
another one that came to my mind. So I went grocery shopping yesterday, right? And you know how you go grocery shop, you put all your groceries in the trunk, and it's snowing or whatever the heck, and you don't want to make too many trips from your car to to get it into your house, right? So what do? You overload carrying bags of groceries into your house. And I finally, this just literally just happened yesterday where I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to take one bag at a time. The heck with it. I'm not going to, create any craziness here or the possibility of falls by just trying to prevent one extra trip to the car. Do you know what I mean? Those kinds of
Yeah,
mental things I think are
that is a
important.
star student. You could help teach a class, Stanton, because those are exactly the things that we hope by just increasing awareness, people will start thinking of, oh, this is something I could do that's simple. That we think is saving us time. Like one fall can really change your course of things, right? Like the risk of injury. And so just by doing some of those steps are really important steps to consider. And
And like when
yes.
you pack your groceries, sometimes you have to put your groceries in the bags yourself. Don't make them so heavy.
Yep.
There's no reason for that. Take an extra bag. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. That's a great, really great point. I also think about that. Like, do you do anything different when you're going to the grocery store and think about where you park? And especially the way that the parking lots are now, right? And a strategy that I've started to do just as parking close to where, like, it might be a farther walk for me, but if I park next to where I can grab a cart and use the cart to kind of push in, some of those
There you go.
strategies help so that you have a little bit more support in these, when the surfaces are slippery and trying to get through the mess of the winter. Thinking about just having something else so you have more points on the ground to keep you more stable is another is another thing to consider because it is
Yeah.
hard in these times when these parking lots can't stay perfectly clear, and there's just risks when you're going back and forth in those areas.
This has been great. I mean, incredible information. So, Clarence, last thought
I
besides
am.
pickleball.
Well, you know what? I'm stuck on pickleball, just so you know that, Stan. I've already written a note to somebody to say, let's get pickleball 101 together here,
All
okay?
right,
But
I'm with
I've
you.
already
I'm
done
with
it.
you.
Okay. But I agree with you. I think that the information that's been presented here has been very, very helpful. It has really caused me to think about some things, and you know, in the work that I do in terms of community, you know, there are things that, you know, we work with seniors, and some of the things that you discuss, I never thought about, you know, and so it's really been a great eye opener for me. So thank you very much, and hopefully you'll see some of the outcomes of this conversation in our community soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So Mary, last thoughts.
My last thoughts is just anything we can do to increase awareness and empower yourself as you age. And I would say even before you get to 65, we should all be thinking about how to stay healthy and enjoy life and using exercise and good healthy habits of eating and drinking water as important things that you can do and that you can prevent falls, and that falls are preventable.
Yeah.
And there is no shame if you do have one, because we've all had one. And it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to seek help and guidance so that you can live your best life.
Yeah, thank you. You know, my last thought is, let's be careful out there. You know, just, you know, bring it up a notch. I mean, you don't have to go crazy about this. Just bring it up a notch. Yes, there are variables that affect being more careful, you know, like your age or what have you. But okay, it's okay to bring it up a notch, you know, to be more careful. And I think that it's good advice that for all of us, be a little bit more careful, especially, you know, like winter months are coming right now. So
I
thank you for
agree.
being with us. This is your information is key and vital in many ways. So I greatly appreciate your insights. So for our listening audience, we've got a couple of interesting shows coming up here. Community engagement, which I'm sure, you know, Clarence will have a couple of words about that with our guests that we'll have. And then also we're doing a show on menopause coming up. So great shows on Health Chatter. And for all of you out in the listening audience, keep health chatting away.